The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, Patrick, early Merry Christmas to you. We've got a Vikings-Giants game. Vikings are, I believe, four-point favorites here. So, yeah, first of all, how are you celebrating the holidays? You told us off mic you're not going to be among the 5,000 flights canceled, so that's good.
I'm going to do a little driving around today. I have to get some late gifts for some people, and I'm not too worried about it. Go take my son for lunch today. Go see the grandkids tomorrow. Have about three people over on Sunday. Pack her in about noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon for the Christmas, for the traditional Christmas Day nap. Oh. 1 in the afternoon, about 3 hour nap, because the Christmas Day football games, as I said yesterday, they all suck. Who cares? The Packers are playing nobody, and every game is terrible. So I don't. Last night, did America sit down and watch that thing?
Well, there was an ambulance chaser effect there to watch the end of Zach Wilson's NFL career play out for
Chris Streveler, the former Gopher.
I missed that. Yeah, he'd been the third guy, and then he got, he was a star in Canada. I guess he got more money to sit on the bench down here, but why didn't he stay up there and play every game? I don't get it. Why does he come down here and sit on his ass?
So he can run a lot. He can play once a year and run.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zach Wilson was getting the Jamarcus Russell Zach Wilson comparisons after the certain number of games were all over Twitter last night. Virtually identical.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's over.
The stats of those guys. Yeah. But there were some great Jamarcus Russell anecdotes on there. One of them was that he was Raiders, right? Raiders. Yeah.
No. He was Buccaneers, wasn't he?
Or,
no,
you're right. Russell.
I'm wrong.
First overall pick. He was Culpepper, even bigger. And they suspected him of not watching any tape that they'd sent him. That he didn't watch any tape. So they gave him some tapes to study at home, blank. They gave him blank tapes.
Yeah.
And he came back and told them how he was reading this and reading that
tapes,
which were blank, which gave them some evidence that he wasn't, he was apparently a video game freak. I think he was he much preferred video games. Kind of like Kyler Murray, he much preferred.
Well, so how do these teams, these guys are unplayable, right? Like Zach Wilson's not just a bust. You can't play him at all after 2 years. He's that bad. Where you can just put Chris Streveler in and just be better, apparently.
Yes, yeah. You know, at least he's more mobile.
And he was the number two pick. How are you whiffing like this?
Yes. And Culpepper. I'm not Culpepper. Russell. I think they drafted him because they reminded them of Culpepper, but a big, strong guy. But when you're interviewing them, they interview them extensively. They do all this stuff. Somebody's got to say, he don't give a damn. Don't they? Somebody in his background has got to say, you don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But I guess you get stubborn and you decide, you make up your mind. I wonder who was running the Oakland then. Which one of our geniuses was running Oakland?
Let's look that up. So
Al Davis was still alive, right?
He was calling the shots. Yeah,
that was 2000.
He would never be deterred on anything. So.
Yeah, because I saw Russell at the combine when I was covering it for the paper, Pat, and I remember he walked right by me, and I looked up at him, and I thought, who is that defensive tackle?
Yeah, right.
He was so. I mean, he wasn't just big. He was big on purpose. He didn't care about the weight. And right there at the combine, you could have said, you know what, this might be a problem.
The mothers who have fat children like us, like boys or something, they always say, well, he's big boned, you know. Well, yeah. This guy was big. You know, they don't want to say that us tubs just eat way too much. They say, ah, he's big boned.
Yeah. Wow. I just pulled up the 07 Raiders. It is a who's who of who is running that franchise. So Al Davis was the owner and general manager.
Yes.
So he was the general manager. And their head coach was Lane Kiffin in 2007.
He didn't make it through the year, right?
He did that year. He was 4-12.
Got fired.
And then maybe got fired.
That year. Yeah.
And then the defensive coordinator was Rob Ryan, Rex Ryan's twin brother.
Yeah.
And other notable offensive and defensive assistants, John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach for Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, really? How come nobody did that story when he was here?
I don't know.
So how did it work, John, talking to that blank canvas? So,
and Keith Millard was the defensive line coach for those Raiders.
He had a little run as a line coach, didn't he? I don't know if he's with some college now or not. I don't think he is now.
I think he's enjoying life.
That was what an operation that was, though. Al, man. You know, Al had all his buddies scout, you know, and when everybody else was doing the highly, you know, researched scouting and stuff, he'd have his buddies, you know, from, his scouts were still guys that he knew from the AFL. Don McMahon, the old Twins pitching coach, was one of his scouts. They grew up together in Brooklyn, and in the off season, McMahon would scout players for Al Davis. So, it's, I mean, that's the way he ran. He just ran it. He ran it old school. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's, that game last night. Come on. Don't watch. Do something else. Find some bad movie to watch. You know,
Again, too, Pat, Al Michaels has to say, you know what? I've had a great run.
Yeah, right.
But I cannot be on Amazon. Do you want to remember Al Michaels, this legendary play-by-play voice of Monday Night Football for years and the greatest games as the soundtrack to Amazon's terrible football package?
Didn't they have a couple of decent ones, though, that kind of – because he had a 2 or 3 week period earlier when he was saying, this is terrible. This is terrible football. I mean, you remember that one? He was like, he went off on how bad it was.
Yeah.
And, but then I think they had a couple that happened to be better than they expected them to be. But it is a terrible football package. And when how about Jacksonville? Well, they were 1-6. They're like Detroit now.
They're seven and eight. They're one of the hottest teams in the league. Trevor Lawrence, second year light bulb going on. They're actually, They could get a wild card spot, but they also have Tennessee. Just Tennessee is leading the division at 7-7, and they play each other the final game of the season. So they might just have to chase down the Tennessee Titans to make the playoffs.
Oh, Titans have been, but Tannehill's out, right?
He's out for the year.
Yeah, and they're terrible. They're not any good. Hey, what? So do the Vikings want to tank and let the Giants win so the Giants can make the playoffs and then they get to play the Giants maybe in the
Well, you tell us. So here are your options. You could be the 2 seed or the 3 seed if San Francisco catches you. The 5 teams that you would likely play are the Giants, the Commanders, the Lions, Seahawks, or Packers, because the Packers, if they win out, would technically still – have a shot.
The Seahawks would be my first choice. They're no good. The Packers would probably be my second choice. The Commanders would be my third choice. No, I think the Giants or the Commanders are interchangeable. I mean, those four, give me any one of those four. I just don't want the plucky Lions, man. The Lions outplayed these guys twice.
I know.
Yeah, the Lions.
They're better.
You know, the Lions are better than those teams. So that I don't want to play the Lions. The Lions could make up for, come in here and make up for 61 years of humiliation against the Vikings. You know, that, can you see Campbell's fiery speech? Bud Grant beat these guys 13 straight games.
Yeah.
Brad Childress and Mike Tice were 16-1 against us.
Players like who? Who's Bud Grant? What are you talking about?
They definitely don't remember Bud Grant. Probably don't remember Brad Childress or Mike Tice. But
I think Bud had a tie in there, but there was a 13-game streak that they didn't lose to the Lions. back. And that was when the Lions weren't terrible. That's when they had Joe Schmidt as the coach, and they, you know, they just figure out a way to lose. Some of the ways they figured out to lose to the Vikings were unbelievable, but they would always figure out a way to lose. But they had some players back then. Now they had many, 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 many years of just being rotten. So,
you know, I got an email a couple days ago from someone accusing me of being a covert Lions fan. Says, are you secretly hosting Lions a Daily. Podcast called Lions Daily? And I said, you know what? I don't want the Lions to cause chaos for the Vikings playoff run, but I am rooting for the Lions' success. Yes, I am rooting for the Lions' success.
Because we all thought, you know, I didn't watch Hard Knocks, but everybody, he was the guy, right? Wasn't he on? Was it Hard Knocks?
Last year, Dan Campbell and the Lions were.
Yeah, and everybody saw this psycho, right? And you thought he'd just flame out like every other Lions coach. And then they go 1-6, and you say, boy, they're going to lay down like dogs for this guy. And now they're 6-7 or whatever, 7-8 or whatever they are. It's
7-7.
It's amazing how plucky they've been. Yeah, you got to love the Lions. Even our guy, we used to, Rob Parker, when we had the afternoon show, Rob was a columnist there a long time. And then he was originally, he was the partner for, guy from Dallas,
Skip Bayless,
Skip's partner, right? And then Skip stabbed him in the back and got him off the show. And
now he's stabbing Shannon in the front, actually.
And then Rob went out to LA for a while, and then he came back. But he's always been the number one Lions basher in the world when he was a columnist there. So every time they did something humiliating, we'd get Rob on to just go on for 10 minutes about what an embarrassment they are to the entire city of Detroit. I got his phone number. I should call him up and say, what does he think about the new Lions? I'll have to do that if they play. So
yeah.
He was great.
Pat, I have a piece of reckless speculation from the New York Post this morning. So Joel Sherman is looking at outfielders for the Yankees to trade for.
Yes.
And he lists Max Kepler as a target.
As the target.
Target. So here's the proposed trade from Joel Sherman. Max Kepler and Nick Gordon for Gleyber Torres and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He comes back full circle to the Minnesota Twins after being here for 36 hours. A reckless trade offer from Joel Sherman.
But if you get Torres, can't you just play him at shortstop?
I think he could fill in there, yeah.
Now, wasn't that his original position, shortstop? Glaber, when he first
came. I thought Didi was there. I thought it was Gregorius.
I thought Torres played shortstop.
And Torres played second for them.
I think he's a shortstop.
Glaber played shortstop for a couple years. Yes, he did.
I would take labor for Torres. Yes, I would. But then we don't want Urshela. So what do we want? You know, we don't want other infielders. So what do we want another infielder for? We're stacked, baby. They might even trade a rise. So,
but yeah, I don't know. Do you think they have a coherent plan from now until spring training? Like, do you think they have a roadmap of what they want to do? Or are they just kind of like, let's just come back after Christmas and figure it out?
Well, I do think they heard from enough people that said, yeah, we'll take Kepler. We might not give you much, but we'll take him. That's why they signed Joey Gallo. I think that, you know, they had to know they could get rid of Kepler before they signed Joey Gallo, right? Because it's the same player, except one of them strikes out even twice as much as the other. So, but there had to be a notion that you can trade Kepler. Now, are you going to overplay your hand and try to get more for a mediocre player like Kepler? You know, they can always try to overplay their hand and then not get rid of him. But there's got to be a Kepler plan to trade him somewhere. You want to trade him for pitching, don't you? Isn't that what you want to trade him for? You want somebody to give you a usable pitcher, right?
Preferably someone under team control. For you with a bad arm.
How's the arm? Yeah. It's not good. Okay, we'll talk.
Okay, that was a great Rogers trade because we have Paddock. Yes, he had to undergo elbow surgery. But he'll be back in the middle of 2000. We got him for a half a year in 2024. So, yep. You know.
He might never pitch again, but if he does, he's under our control.
Never mind this season where we have Carlos Correa and a shot to win a weak division. We've got Paddock under team control in a half decade.
God. Okay, I got a question for you guys. I was just thinking about this. The undercurrent of defenders of all things, man, each team of the major teams has its group of, you know, mostly young defenders, right? Because they can come up. I saw some guys the other day talking about the wave of Falvey Levine pitchers is on the way, the young pitchers, and we'll all be saying, what are they going to do with all this pitching? I don't think it was Ben Dover that wrote it either. I don't know who it was. But who do you think?
I know.
Now, the Vikings don't need that element for now, right? They don't need that element. That everybody's on the bandwagon, okay, after last week. But in the Wild, really, you know, they're playing. They got beat bad last night, but they're playing better. But that, which one of those undercurrents is stronger? The young defenders of the Twins or the young defenders of the Timberwolves? Which one of those groups is stronger?
Oh,
who do you guys hear more from?
I think it's the Twins.
I agree. It's the Twins, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I still don't think that there's a buy-in to the Wolves that runs as oddly as deep as the Twins one does.
There's this incredible protective shell around an organization that hasn't won a playoff game in 18 tries going back almost 20 years.
I mean, it's obviously not the newspaper readers of that generation, you know, the 50 plus people who are still reading the newspaper and look at it. So it's not them. It's kind of a 20-ish thing, right?
You know,
20-year-old and all in on war and analytics and stuff like that.
I think it stems directly from a lot of folks who are fans of the event. You're going to the Twins Daily Crew. I think it's a lot of those people because those people set the tone to defend. And then I think their followers follow along in the, oh, yeah, things are fine. I don't know what you people are talking about. You old negative.
Does Twins Daily have Gallo defenders?
Oh, absolutely.
Based on what?
He's a great guy. I guess he's really nice.
Pat, the Athletic wrote a piece the other day saying how this is a great buy low, how ecstatic the Twins are. The Twins do an amazing, and I actually think it's a decent. I mean, he's not going to fix your franchise, but it's a decent buy low. I actually don't hate it. But the Twins have this amazing way of continuously making it feel like everything is fine. Hey, you know, listen, we're making our way. We're doing things behind the scenes that people don't really understand. Like they are brilliant at spin as an organization.
But it's the audience they're hitting is small because they get bashed in the most commentaries that you read. It's probably what I'm reading, right? Is it what I read?
Could be the algorithm. Yes.
The Star Tribune or, other, when I see the comments there or some other stories, and maybe even ESPN and stuff, they get killed, but maybe the Twins Daily commenters are much more kind to them. I don't know. They want to be. I'll never forget that 2016, though, that I, at the end of spring training, I wrote that Snow was fat and that they were, that they were concerned. And boy, I got killed. This guy was, they were, you know, that generation, which is now older, obviously 6-7 years older, but they were very upset that someone would question the greatness of this Tubelard. So, it was.
And you were right.
Well, but right. I still think the franchise was in tremendous decline, obviously. And he showed up in 2015 and was pretty good for 3 months. Not as good in September, but he was very good in July and August. And among stupid decisions in Twins franchise history, saying you were going to put him in right field so we could get the extremely valuable one hole Park in the lineup is one of the stupidest decisions of all time and led to the worst season in Twins history. And I remember Perky was over having a couple of beers at my place in Paseo, the same complex, and he said, "This is a really good team." He says, "I like this team, but I don't like Sano in right field," you know, and it just turned into that complete disaster. The pitching went all to hell. Everybody got hurt. Yeah. Perky got hurt, right? And everybody, you know, by the end of the year, they were starting Pedro Hernandez and stuff like that. But the year went terrible. But I think you can mark down saying we're going to play Sano in right field is kind of a jumping off point for stupidity, which came before these guys showed up, right?
No, I agree.
It was never going to work.
They thought he'd stay in shape, though. That was my favorite part of the whole thing is, how can we challenge him to get in the greatest shape of his life? Let's put him in right field.
Put him in a position. Put him in a position. Because Plouffe had his best year in 2015. But you would have been better off having him try to play third and put Plouffe in right field, right?
Yeah.
You could have tried something.
I've been thinking about this Correa thing, too, just to kind of bring it full circle. And it's hard because you're not, unless you get, you know, 100,000 Twins fans in a room and really get the consensus, you're basically just going off feel, right? You're going off things that you read or media, social media, whatever. But how many other franchises, and I'm not even saying that I would have signed him to that contract, but the Twins were trying to. So that the Twins made it their priority to start the offseason as other free agents came off the board and said, we will spend almost $300 million on a player and a 10-year contract, and this is our only focus from what we can tell. And they come up empty, and it is now exposed that, like, oh, he really didn't want to be in Minnesota. They really weren't the runners-up. The Mets actually were. They really never were serious. And instead of people being mad about it or using that as sort of a, wow, this is a great snapshot of why the Twins over 20 years, look at all these other things they've done. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone here, but like one of the articles written about their follow-up move, Joey Gallo comes in, and we're letting Thad Levine come in here and talk about how he's a premium athlete and brings like versatility and a big bat. It's like your response to whiffing on the Correa thing shouldn't be to then, we got equally over here, we got Joey Gallo, who's a versatile premium athlete. Are you kidding me?
And ladies and gentlemen, he's going to agree to take BP publicly twice a week, although we don't let you in to watch BP for the home team. So, but hey, you can stand out there and maybe catch a long
come time. See this. If Joey Gallo is a premium athlete, then what do you call Byron Buxton? Okay, like on the curve of, I get that he's an athlete. That is correct. So you're 50%
right. Who read the long, Ron Bloom wrote it, but I think it might have been a composition of other stories. For the Associated Press, did you read the long Boris story this morning? Mm-mm-mm. The state of Boris is telling what happened, that the Giants basically said, hey, we need more time. And then he says, well, how much more time? And he said, 1 o'clock. And then it was always we need more time. So it was obviously them getting cold feet. So he said we had a couple of clubs with that were same kind of with over 10-year offers. Okay, so that doesn't include the Twins. So they called the Mets. Cohen was eating dinner in Hawaii. He called them, and he basically made the deal over the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning or what with him. But, you know, Correa with his whole family were at the hotel in San Francisco and ready. He called them down to the room and said they want out. And, but, you know, who there was one Twins figure that played in this drama. The doctor. The Twins doctor, the Mayo guy that's what's in the camp or something, they were going on. He gave him the end of the year physical here and gave him a clean bill of health, according to Boris anyway. So, and they were saying, well, you got the doctor report. But it's obvious the Giants wanted out because the owner, the ownership didn't, this Charles Johnson guy, they just laid off 10% or 100 people in the in the operation, I guess, and they're cutting costs. And then all of a sudden he said, yeah, I guess we'll give them the deal. And then they got cold feet. But their cold feet did not include getting back to the Twins the way it sounded. Now, they might have asked the Twins, do you want to go over 10 years? And the Twins
supposedly did.
And Twins said no.
Yeah, so. But this whole thing happens, and it's just kind of a collective. And maybe that's where they are as a franchise. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess, all right, who's the next prospect that we can get excited about?
The still thing that I talked to the other day, though, I think it would be really classy for him to come back and accept all his plaques, don't you?
Yeah,
he should. He really should.
He should.
Especially if he loves it here so much.
His last thing was, I want to be at the Diamond Awards no matter what, Scott.
In February or January or whatever.
Because my wife wants to. She loves the Twin Cities.
Loves the snow.
There's going to be a lot of free time in that ceremony. I think he got five of them, didn't he? Five of them. But good guy, MVP.
Yep.
Best defensive player. I don't know what else. We got
the award for player that loves Juicy Lucy's the most.
Community service something.
State Fair.
Yeah.
I think we named him most cooperative, because he sat out there and he very, very openly lied to us. But that's okay. It's fine. At least he was talking. The rest of them were hiding.
He was so nice to us that we couldn't bring ourselves to even think about trading him at the deadline. I know that I'm still dying on that hill.
Yeah, they couldn't have done it. They first place, they were just about to get three pitchers. They had the reason you got him is to try to win the division. You can't be in first place and say, okay, let's trade him. You got him to win the division. That's why you got him.
You did, but then don't trade for Tyler Malley. Yeah. Trade for a guy that wasn't on the injured list 2 weeks before with a bum.
Arm wasn't about to fall
trade
off.
Trade for a real pitcher that's not
hurt. Into all kinds of that stuff.
Malley's got control left, Phil. I don't know what you're talking about.
The shock to me, though, and something that really derailed them for the fold was Jorge Lopez, because I was excited about him. Yeah. I thought he was really good. He was terrible. And that, Jorge Lopez shows up. He's been almost infallible, and he stinks. Who are we holding responsible? Yeah. I can't. You know what? I can't believe more than anything. I got nothing against him as a human being, but I can't believe Pete Mackey's back as your pitching coach. He has the presence of a wall.
Is that
it's like he's just seen a ghost too when he comes out of the dump?
Is their staff okay? They haven't announced anything, but it is almost January. So are they just rolling the same exact staff back? All
they
of them?
Changed the training. I thought they changed one.
I think Tommy's still at third base.
Tommy's still at third.
Waving him home.
Hank Cogner. You go. First, yeah.
You go too. Everybody.
How do you? They literally think that they just got 20 games unlucky last year. That's what they're saying. They think we got 20 games unlucky last year. Let's run it back, except without Carlos Correa. We're going to run it back and see what happens. That's amazing.
Well, Jace, didn't they add Jace Tingler, bench coach? Was he there last year? Or was he not? He was there last year. I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah, I guess he was there last year.
You missed the five episodes where hinted at Jace Tingler potentially taking over as manager.
It was a blur.
I wrote that down like six times.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Declan just blacked out during our Twins episode.
I want to mention one last thing. I've been reading the Star Tribune's report today on the Gophers' victory over Chicago State. And it was nice to see Dawson Garcia show up big against a team St. Thomas only beat by 22 and, to win by three. And it's great that we're creating some momentum here before the Big Ten season starts by beating Pine Bluff and Chicago State 3-12, by the way, before the Alcorn State game. We stink, okay? We stink.
Stop trying to put
sugar-coated pig. It's terrible.
You now know, Patrick, why they won't play the Tommies. Your question has been answered because they'd lose by 15.
That's unbelievable. Oh, God. How can you beat Chicago State? By the way, they announced 8,000. Somebody told me the head count was 1,500. now with the snowstorm and everything. So they probably would have had three if it wouldn't have been for the bad weather.
It's a noon start, right?
They had to move the game up, but 1,500 people there.
Dawson Garcia can't be stopped when it starts.
He cannot in big clutch situations. I sure hope we can keep him unless he has to transfer again. Boy, North Carolina, how are the Tar Heels ever going to survive without him? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to be. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hey, to sauerkraut pizza, everyone.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I got that. All right. Good enough.
All right. See you, Pat. See you, Merry guys. Christmas Goodbye. To you. Yes. All right. That's Rapping with Royce here. You can find all of our Royce conversations. They're all technically unchained. We can start calling them that maybe because you can find them all in the Royce Unchained podcast feed if you want to catch up on your Royce over the holidays. We'll see you guys.